Tom Karkle in the AM 1400 WRJN News Center. Our AccuWeather forecast today, starting out with morning sunshine, followed by increasing clouds, maybe some isolated afternoon thunderstorms, high of about 81 degrees. Right now in Kenosha, it's clear 63, cloudy in Burlington with 60 degrees, clear in Milwaukee 64, same thing here in Racine. Early this morning, a welding machine caught fire in Racine County. After about 4:30 or so, it was at Racine Metal Fab, which is on Grandview Parkway near the interstate. Whatever flames did appear were out, though, before Union Grove, Kansasville, and Raymond fire crews could arrive. Fire did produce a lot of smoke inside the building, but the employees there managed to unplug the machine and get it outside, then open up all the doors to vent the facility. Nobody got hurt. Funeral service is now scheduled Friday at St. Mark's Catholic Church in Kenosha for two young children found dead inside their home last weekend. Three-year-old Alicia Hernandez, one-year-old Javier Hernandez will then be buried in a private ceremony. Their mother, Lucia Hernandez Alvarez, accused of drugging and suffocating them. She is scheduled to be in court this afternoon, currently being held on a $5 million cash bond. In Racine County Circuit Court, that 18-year-old Waterford man who climbed onto the roof of an elementary school Monday night said he needed to retrieve a ball that he'd thrown up there. Here's the court appearance from WRJN's Janet Hoff.
Racine County Sheriff's deputies were called to Woodfield Elementary School in Waterford after a woman cleaning inside the building heard someone walking around on the roof and thought they might be trying to break in. The first deputy on the scene found Daniel Miskelly walking away from a bike rack that had been propped up against the building, apparently to access the roof. Miskelly admitted he had weapons in his car, which was parked on school property, and deputies did find three unloaded guns in the trunk. Miskelly has been charged with three felony counts of possessing firearms on school property and a misdemeanor count of disorderly conduct. He's scheduled to return to court October 1st for a preliminary hearing. Janet Hoff, AM 1400, WRJN News.
A traffic stop for speeding last Sunday on 52nd Street in Kenosha led to the president of the local NAACP, Veronica King, also being cited for obstructing, she allegedly telling the officer that she only deserved a warning. King is 52, reportedly clocked on radar at 44 in a technically a 25-mile-an-hour zone, though nobody drives that speed there. Kenosha News indicates that King got out of her van, stood in the travel lane, and then refused the officer's request to get back into her vehicle, stating at one point, quote, "I'm no threat to you. I don't have to listen to you," unquote. No comment thus far from King on the incident. In Madison, a bipartisan bill being circulated at the Capitol would require children to ride in rear-facing car seats with vehicles until they are at least 2 years old. More on that story from Andrew Beckett.
Current state law only requires rear-facing seats to be used until a child is one or if they weigh more than 20 pounds. Libby Slavin with Safe Kids Wisconsin says the two-year standard is more in line with what the American Academy of Pediatrics recommends.
A child 12 to 24 months old is five times safer riding rear-facing than reversing that car seat forward-facing at 1 year. Rear-facing car seats provide the necessary protection to a child developing vertebrae and spinal cord in a crash.
Backers of the legislation call it a common-sense proposal that will help save the lives of children, and also note bringing the state in line with federal recommendations will help parents avoid confusion about what's legal and what's safe. Andrew Beckett, Wisconsin Radio Network.
Mayors from municipalities along the Mississippi River getting a warning from Racine's John Dickert about nitrate pollution wreaking havoc along the corridor. Dickert in Dubuque, Iowa, for a meeting of the mayors from the Mississippi Rivers and Towns Initiative and other mayors from cities along the shores of the Great Lakes, noting last summer folks in Toledo, Ohio, could not drink their tap water even if it was boiled due to farm chemical runoff into Lake Erie. Mayor Dickert said thankfully officials issued do not drink the water warnings before anybody got killed.
And the cost of the pollution and the algal blooms, which you're starting to see on some shorelines and banks of the Mississippi, which you're already seeing in the Great Lakes, is exponential, because it's not just the cleanup in the wastewater systems and the clean water systems, but it's also what it does to the shoreline, the reduction in property values, the health conditions.
He noted some 20 million Americans get their drinking water from the Mississippi River, and he added that the mayors, they should be working with American farmers trying to resolve the problem. And earlier this year, American Tower Corporation proposed a 150-foot-tall cell phone tower for the Piper Farm site along Lathrop Avenue in Mount Pleasant. It drew negative reaction from the owner of the historic clinkered barn across the way, so ATC will now be putting a 160-foot-tall tower next to Treasures Media, which is on Chicory Road. The Plan Commission for Mount Pleasant approving the site plan yesterday. Mark Ninnerman, representing American Tower, admitted the original proposal did not consider the clinkered barn in historic context. Village Development Director Logan Martin explaining negative reaction to the Lathrop site got American Tower looking at the alternative location.
The subject site allows for significantly increased setbacks and greatly reduces any impact to surrounding properties, very different from the previously approved location on Lathrop Avenue. In the event of a catastrophic failure, the tower is designed to collapse and fall within a radius of 107 feet from the footing of the tower. Within the packet, there is a fall radius letter from an engineer.
The closest home, by the way, over 500 feet away. The top 11 Republican presidential candidates, including Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker, again seeking the spotlight with the second debate last night. Frontrunner Donald Trump throwing the first barb, challenging Kentucky Senator Rand Paul's placement on the main stage there. Paul went after Trump for criticizing people for how they look. Carly Fiorina, which was in reference to the situation with Trump and how people look, says she's eager just to fix Washington. And Governor Walker talked about President Obama not being tough enough on Iran.
I'd love to play cards with this guy because Barack Obama folds on everything with Iran.
Ohio Governor John Kasich said there's no point in shutting down the government to push to defund Planned Parenthood. Mike Huckabee voicing support for the Kentucky clerk who went to jail for refusing to issue marriage licenses to same-sex couples. Dr. Ben Carson talking about the minimum wage and maybe that could be adjusted. Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice Patrick Crooks not going to be seeking re-election next year. Bob Haig with the story.
There are already three candidates to succeed Crooks setting up a primary election. State Appeals Court Judge Rebecca Bradley filed paperwork Monday, though she's not made a formal announcement. Appeals Judge Joanne Kloppenburg and Milwaukee County Judge Joe Donald have already announced they're running. State Supreme Court races generally generate little voter interest. A native of Green Bay, Crooks was elected to his first 10-year term on the Supreme Court in 1996, re-elected in 2006 without opposition. His retirement date coincides with the end of his current term. Bob Haig, Wisconsin Radio Network.
The ad hoc committee looking at creating a new school district in Caledonia, Mount Pleasant, Sturtevant held an initial discussion with the head of the Wisconsin Taxpayers Association, looking at what might be included in a study on that proposal and just how much it might cost. WisTax did one of these studies back in 2008 for Caledonia. Todd Berry said historically, similar studies have concentrated on the financial aspects of just breaking away.
They have not focused on curriculum or program or things like that. So the kinds of data we look at, enrollment, state aid, state revenue limits, property values, district assets and liabilities, buildings, debt, things like that. And we typically look out 5 or 6 years.
Said the new study would differ significantly from the earlier one for Caledonia because it now includes a high school. Berry adding that he should be able to get back to the committee with some cost figures in a few weeks. And Racine Unified is going to hold another do-over public hearing on the district's budget. They had one back on August the 17th. But apparently some folks in the village of Sturtevant questioned whether it was actually legal. They didn't really have a quorum. The board's attorney at the time said, you can always hold it. We believe it's okay. But then if somebody complains, you can hold another hearing. Well, that's what they're going to do because there was a complaint. So it's scheduled for September the 28th. WRJN.com. That is our webpage. You can listen to our newscast in podcast form whenever you want. Go to the local news section at WRJN News to get our Twitter updates. I'm Tom Karkle, AM 1400 WRJN News.